Burgess?
We unfortunately are a bit takua in Kuf Lamed He, and a brief review on Kuf Lamed He is in order, assuming that consciousness remains. So, we brought a brisa at the beginning of the sugya that darshan the word biyomashini yimol besar orlato. Why is it that we need orlato? We went through a lot of cases of safek. One of the things that we brought was that orlato vaday docheta shabbat velo nolad mohul docheta shabbat. Now that, the Gemara said, seems to relate directly to the machloket of Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel about whether there's a halacha of hatafat dam brit on a nolad kishahu mahul. The Tanakhama that expressed that machloket clearly held that according to Beit Hillel, there's no din of requiring hatafat dam brit. Period. Comes along Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar and says, no, that's a wrong application of the machloket Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Actually, they were arguing about a Nochri who was mohul surgically. It's a medical procedure. And now he's coming to be Megayer, and the question over there was whether you need Hatafat Dam Brit. But if it's a question of a boy born as a Jew without any evident Orla, over there, forget about the issue of Hatafat Dam Brit. You have the question of, is there or is there not an Orla Kvusha here? And therefore, in such a case, even Beit Hillel was moda that, of course, you need to do hatafat dam brit. So we had right away a machloket as to what the machloket is between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Later on in the daf, we discovered that there was a different way of learning the machlokas as well, which is Rebbe Eliezer HaKafar's approach, also disagreeing with the Tanakhama, but agreeing that Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel do in fact argue about a Jewish child who was born mohul, except that according to Rebbe Eliezer HaKafar, everybody agrees that b'chol, there's certainly a suffix or oklusha. The question is whether there is a din of the Chiyat Shabbat, which is what Beit Shammai was saying, that you need Atafat Dam Brit, and that is something that Atafat Dam Brit is even on Shabbat. Now, it was not clear, not only to us, but it's not clear throughout the generations. There are major machlokas in as to what the real makor is of the din of Atafat Dam Brit, if it's not nogea, this question of Orla Kvusha. Is it somehow a Kabbalah that's the nature of Brit Mila? Is it at Rashi, as we mentioned a couple days ago, Rashi brings it from the Posek of Badam Britech? Or is it a drabanan who viewed that as part of Knisa Labrit, requires blood, whether it's blood of carbonus or blood, we know that we view the human being who's Nichnas Labrit is similar to a korban, the sandik is similar to somebody who is being makriv of the korban, and so on. So there are in Yonim specifically of Dam, how much it's really part of Brit Milah is not clear. Whether one would make a brocha on Atafat Dam Brit is not clear. Whether there would be a brocha even on Atafat Dam Brit of a Nochri that was mol is not clear. These things are major machlokas throughout the Deres, and there's no way that we're going to come to a clarity of the sugya here through the Gemara, because there's different ways of learning the sugya. But I'm sure you can see the sub-issues here between the text, because we introduced the whole sugya as a part of the list of various sfeikot, which is Orlato Vadai, which is mashmah, the whole issue was originally the question of a sofek about a katan. So how exactly did that turn into a din of atafat dam brit on a goy where there is no suffix? So something strange is going on. There's an interrelationship between a real orla kvusha, according to some, which was another machloket that we spoke about. According to some, orla kvusha means that there's a real din of orla. Assuming that we know there would be an orla kvusha, it would be a standard orla, would be docha Shabbos, wouldn't have anything to do with suffix. According to whom, the only way to do a mila on an orla kvusha is to actually scrape the atara to make sure that the layer of skin that might be an orla kvusha, that's removed. According to others, and halacha lemaisa, the orla kvusha is not apparently, I mean, the din is definitely, you don't have to scrape the atara. The question how it works is apparently they would learn that orla kvusha is not a real orla, to be ma'ake from achilas truma and so much as other Rambam paskens. Hatafat dam brit is a separate issue, except that there's no point in hatafat dam brit when there is no arla. What are you being mative? You might as well put an earring in your ear and have it bleed and say, I was mative dam brit. Because the issue is the dam. The issue is dam from the act of removing an arla. So according to them, ein hachinami, orla kvusha at least gives you the ability to be mativ dam brit, but it isn't necessary to remove an orla kvusha, because the very fact that it's kofush means that the person is not mechuse, so to speak, with an orla. It's bottled to his bosser directly. That's the way most learn the other chat. Underneath the three-way machlokas between the Tanakhama, Reb Shimon ben Elazar, and Reb Eliezer HaKafar, as to what the machloket Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel was, whether it was with a Jew, was it by a goy, was it on Shabbos, was it on Chol, beneath that machloket, I can't believe this. I simply cannot believe there would be such a thing. Beneath all of that, we have a separate machloket Amoroyim, which we discussed yesterday, which is, according to those who hold that there's a problem of Orla Kvusha, is it that there's a Vaday Orla Kvusha and Oled Mo'ol, or is it that there's a Suffolk Orla Kvusha and Oled Mo'ol? That was a secondary machlokas that Rabbi Yosef was trying to bring a raya from the way Rabbi Eliezer HaKafar had understood the machlokas. In other words, we don't see any evidence of a skin. So therefore the question is, does that mean that maybe there is one or maybe there isn't one? Or does it mean that every human is created with an orla, more or less visible, more or less dobuk to the actual skin of the atar? I find that's a question.
Is there a thing like a vaday orla kvusha?
That's what he's saying. According to one madi omar, it's vaday orla kvusha in olad mo. So according to whom, you would be docha Shabbos. That's why he was. That's why he went ahead and was docha Shabbos. It was Menash. He said that he went against Rav. Rav Nachman, who tainted that he went even against Shmuel, because Shmuel was only talking about Chol, not Shabbos. That's not necessarily so, because he was saying that could be that maybe Shmuel was made a legabi Shabbos too. That's how we got into that particular question. Then that was the entire Omer Aleph essentially yesterday.
In case of a normal mila, there's two things though. There's a mila.
There's always two things.
Mila and priya. Priya is on a membrane.
That's correct.
And therefore, the shayla is even if he's mol, maybe that thing.
Right. And that membrane is sometimes very tight. So it could be that we have a case in which we don't even recognize that it's a membrane. Oh, and well, it looks exactly like the skin of the atar.
Yeah, but it's attached to the.
Okay. Let's continue to the next thing. Now.
And that membrane also is not one piece. It's opening. It's open. I mean, it's just like the.
What do you mean? It's open. It leaves room for the arrhythmia. Is that what you're talking about?
Right.
Yeah, right. But it could be completely stuck
up until there.
Right. Now we had another question, which is a fascinating issue that we began yesterday, which is the shaila of whether there is a halacha of a dependency of the first part of the pasuk to the last part of the pasuk. Since the parsha in Tazria begins with the din of tumat leida, with the dinner to matle does, it says over there, kimeni dat votati tma. And then after telling us that halacha, then the Torah comes along and says, ubiyom ha-shmini yimol besar la-tor. So the question is there really a connection between those two sugyas? Rav Asi held that if, for some reason, the mother's not tmeya leida, so let's say she delivered by cesarean, that there would be no din of Mila Bishmini. And Mila then would take place immediately, or as soon as feasible. Abaya said that doesn't make any sense, because originally Mila was given without any din of Tumat Leida, to Avram Avinu, and it was always by Yom HaShmini. To which Rav Asi said, there's a new din of Mila that was Nitchatsha after Netinat HaTorah, which is not the original Brit Mila, and which is indeed Nogea Tumat Leida. Now, we continued yesterday in showing that there seems to be a Machloket Tanaim that expresses this issue, which opened up a whole new question to us, and that is, besides the din of Leidat Banim, there is also a halacha of Milat Banim, there's also a halacha of Milat Abadim. Milat Abadim, the Torah separates into two issues, Miknat Kesev and Yilid Bayit. Those two psukim, there are two separate psukim, in both psukim it mentions both the Yilid Bayit and the Miknat Kesev, however it mentions it in different ways. So, in one pasuk we start have Imol Yimol Yilid Beitcha Miknat Kesevcha, period. Doesn't say anything about Shmini. In the other pasuk, which is the pasuk given to Abram directly, Ben Shmonat Yamim Yimolachem, Kol Zachar seems to be everybody, Yilid Bayit Umiknat Kesev. So the Yimolachem Kol Zachar Yilid Bayit Umiknat Kesev, Bayom HaShmini. They says, Ben Shmonat Yamim. Mashmat of the Ben Shmonat Yamim goes on everybody. From which the Braita concluded, this is from the Shiyotot actually, concluded that there is a separate halacha of Milat Shmini on Miknat Kesev and Yilid Bayit, and a separate din of Milat Rishon, of Mila immediately, on a Miknat Kesev and Yilid Bayit. We, in order to discover what the two cases would be, what decides when we're going to be Mal, used that discussion to discover the machloket tanoim about the difference whether Imo is tmei aleida or not tmei aleida. And let us review that again, because we're right in the middle of that circuit. Says the Gemara on Kuflam and Heomik Beis, Yesh miknat kesev shenima lishmona. Okay, and Yesh miknat kesev shenima l'echad. So the Gemara now says ketzad, one third of the way down. How do we have the case where we could distinguish between a bought Eved, in which we have some cases where it's Nemo for the first day, some cases where it's Nemo for the eighth day? Ketzad. Lakach shifcha mi'uberet. Somebody who purchases a pregnant shifcha, v'acharkach yalda. So at that point he bought both the shifcha and the contents of her womb, and therefore he bought the fetus. That is a miknat kesev, that is nima lishmona, because the birth takes place in his reshut, and therefore it becomes similar to the posik that says, Uben shmonat yamim yimolachem kol zachar ledorotechem. This is similar to the mila of your own child, who was born to you. So too, this eved was born to you from a mother that you owned. See, even though technically it's a miknat kesev, it's still nimo lishmona. How about if lakach shivcha uvelada ima? On the other hand, if he purchases a shivcha and separately an already born infant, that's a miknat kesev. There it's not similar to lachem, because generally speaking, our children do not appear out of nowhere. They go through a process of gestation and birth. And therefore, this particular case where all of a sudden I own a child from nowhere, that is not similar to Lachem. It's reasonable, therefore, to view this as the case as the Miknat Kesev that the Torah didn't mention Ben Shmonat Yamim about. Very, very reasonable.
How old is the baby? One day, 2 days.
It makes no difference. 10 years old the baby is, 1 day old the baby is, exactly the same. The day you buy him, that's when, yeah. In the same way that he appeared out of thin air, and all of a sudden you are the proud daddy of this child. Well, it's Bnei Beitcha, and they have no idea where he came from. On the other hand, children that are born in your household, whether they're born to your wife or they're born to your shivcha, those are always shemini. Whether you purchase them, meaning that the fetus already existed and you bought it, or whether the fetus came into being, conception takes place in your rishos, all of those cases are basically the same. That's a miknat kesev we bite. So says the Tanakh. How about a case of yesh yelid bayit shenimro l'shmonat ketzah? What's the case of a yelid bayit? Well, evidently, lakach shivcha v'nitabla etzlo. He buys a shivcha who's not pregnant. She conceives in his rishut the yalda, so that's a yelid bayit. And this is a yelid bayit, which will certainly be nimro l'shmonah. I mean, imagine if you bought the shivcha and it was nolad, the child was nolad bereshutcha, so it's a miknat kesev, it's nimro l'shmona. Koshekein, the yelid bayit, where the conception takes place in your rishut, of course it's going to be nimro l'shmona. Where would be the case of nimro l'echad? We don't know. Because before we find out what the Tanakhama holds, all of a sudden comes along now another shita, the shita of Rav Chama, who says, excuse me, gentlemen, please go back to the drawing boards. It is not a function of conception and leda. It's a function of whether the mother was tfula at the time of leda. And therefore, being as if she was tfula, there's a din of tumat leda. And being as the din of Mila is dependent, Bishmini is dependent on Tumat Leda, you left out the most important issue. Most important issue is, was the mother already a Jewish Shivcha at the time of Leda? That's the issue. Since that's the issue, according to Rav Chama, this now becomes the Machlokas, the Tanakam and Rav Chama, becomes the machlokas Rabasi and Abaye of yesterday. Is there a relationship between Tumat Leida and Mila Lashmini or not? That's our Shaila. This is the type of thing that happens very often. Because you have more and more Syrians. It's very Nogea. It's in many Midinot that are called Mefutachot. The Syrians are rapidly becoming the standard way of giving birth. Since it's a very simple procedure nowadays, who wants to go through all the messy birthing process? So now, the elective cesareans are standard. So now the shayla, does that mean there's no din of Mila B'Shemini? There's no din of Tachiyat Shabbos? There's no din of Mila B'Shemini? This is the machlokas. Okay. So now, this is where we were holding. Yes, a shivcha is Jewish, as long as she was tefula.
That's what we call shivcha kenanis.
A shivcha kenanit tefula has a din of a Jewish woman in all issues,
more
and all
man,
mitzvahs.
More than the man, because basically the mitzvah is
Asia. Right, except in terms of a yichusim. So let's see now Rav Chama inside. So Rav Chama Omer, Yalda v'achar kach hitvila, if she gave birth before the tvila of her, the mother, that's a yelid bayit shenima le'achad. And there, why? Because it's not similar. Forget about being similar to lachem. It doesn't fulfill the linkage, which is conditional to Mila B'Shemini, of Shivat Yamin, that she has to be tmeya. If the tvila v'achar kach yalda, Zehu yelid bayit hanimro l'shmona. Whereas the Tanakhama, lo shani lei ben hitbila v'achar kach yalda, ben yalda v'achar kach hitbila. According to the Tanakhama, there seems to be no difference as to when the tefillah took place, which proves the apa gav the ein imot me'al leida, even though the woman was not going to be tamia me'at nida in during those 7 days, nimo lishmona. That's the machlokas we had yesterday. However, now that you've mentioned it, we are rather curious, because you broke off the middle, just as we were finally going to find out how it is that a Yalid Bayit, according to the Tanakhama, is going to be Nemo on the first day. And darn it, he interrupted, and now I don't know. So it comes out the way Reb Chama was learning, there was a way of distinguishing between a Yalid Bayit who's Nemo Echad and Yalid Bayit who's Nemo Lishmona, namely, was the mother Jewish or not? Fine, very reasonable. But how about according to the Tanakhama, why would there be a Yalid Bayit that was Nima Le'echad if the conception took place in his own Rishut? How would you explain that? Asks the Gemara. Min Shlema L'Reb Chama Meshkakot La'Yalid Bayit Nima Le'rishon Yalid Bayit Nima Le'shmini Mikdat Kesev Nima Le'rishon Mikdat Kesev Nima Le'shmini. We had four cases. According to Reb Chama, we can actually easily fill in the blanks for each one of these cases. But surprisingly, what the Gemara is about to do is offer another way of filling in the blanks than we originally did. And it's for a very obvious reason, as we'll see in a moment. How do we fill in the blanks according to Reb Chama? Because up until now, what we did, you see, is we have a chart with four blanks to fill in, right? So we have our rows, our Nemo Lishmona, actually our rows are Miknas Bayis and Yalid Bayis and Miknas Kesev, our columns are Nemo Le'echad and Nemo Lishmona. Okay. What we started doing is we filled in three of those values according to the Tanakhama, when all of a sudden Reb Chama appears and says, hold on, the issue is not, as the Tanakhama said, in the section, which was the fourth column, was the second column, second row, in which, according to the Tanakhama, Nima Lishmina is going to be a case where conception took place in the Rishut of the owner, and that was a Yalid Bayit, that's Nima Lishmona, says Reb Chama, not necessarily. It depends on when Tfilah took place. And let me take that difference and fill in now row 2A as well as row 2B. Row 2A, in where we have the question of Nima Le'echad, is talking about where there was no tefillah. Therefore, there was no tuma. If there's no tuma, there's no Nima Le'shmona, and therefore this follows is the Nima Le'echad. According to me, the second and final column in row 2 is filled in by a case where she was Nitzvah. So if she was Tfula before the Leda, that's a Nima Lishmona. The Tanakhama still is left with that first hole on row 2. Right? We don't know when the Echad was. But the thing is, we also now are going to go back and point out that according to Reb Chama, we should not fill in row 1, column 1 and column 2, the way we did before either, because there's be no point in it. Actually, according to Reb Chama, we should say as follows. The case would be, Yolda ve'acharkach itbila, zeo yili, whoops, sorry. Yeah. Where am I up to? I said that already, right?
No.
I'll say it again. Bishon Reb Chama Meshkakel Lo Yalid Bayit Nima Le'echad Yalid Bayit Nima Le'shmona Miknat Kesev Nima Le'echad Miknat Kesev Nima Le'shmona Yolda Ve'achar Kach Yitbila, that's the Yalid Bayit Nima Le'echad, which is row 2 and column 1. And if you have Yitbila Ve'achar Kach Yolda Zo Yalid Bayit Nima Le'shmona, fine, this we know, row 2, column 2. Going back now, surprisingly, to row 1, Miknat Kesev Nima Lishmona, column 2, Kedon Shalakach Shifcha Meuberet Vihitbila Veakakach Yalda. Because according to Reb Chama, the same thing would be true about a Miknat Kesev, being as the din of Nima Lishmona requires Tumat Leida. Or even in a case of a Miknat Kesev, where I buy the fetus, because the mother is already pregnant, so I bought the fetus and the mother. Nonetheless, if I was matbil the shivcha, and then she had that baby, she would be it would be nimal lishmona.
Jew,
and it's very similar to lachem. Very similar to lachem. Whereas a miknat kesef nimal le'echad, the case would be kegon shelakach ze shivcha veze ubra. Case would be one guy buys the shivcha, and one guy buys the ubra. Now, the truth is that obviously Reb Chama could have said exactly the same case as the Tana Kama. Namely, you bought the shivcha and the already born fetus. That was the case. This seems to be a gratuitous complication.
Are you not worried that one day they'll do it to you? Don't you know it comes around?
So why do we now gratuitously confuse everybody by giving us a new case in which two people come along, one guy buys the shivcha, one guy buys the blood? Why don't we just say, for heaven's sakes, the baby was born already? No, we're offering now another case. The according to Tana Kama, the case was born already. Why are we offering this new case? Because there would be no point in Reb Chama telling us the other case. Why would we need for the child to have been born, I ask you? Since according to Reb Chama, even if the child wasn't born, the din of tefillah is going to define the shayla of nima liyachma, right? So according to Rabbi Chama, even if the child was born after I purchased the mother, it's still going to be nila liyachma. So what's the chiddush in the case? The chiddush, therefore, the case that I want to give is where it's not similar to lachem. It's not similar to lachem because one guy owns the mother, another guy owns the fetus. So over there, it's not really a lachem.
So what are you saying? If the mother was nibal, if she was durable, then if somebody else owned the ubar, it wouldn't mashpia on the ubar as well?
No, because over here, it would be mashpia, but not in terms of being mechayiv nima l'shmona. Because nima l'shmona is dependent on two issues. Mm-hmm. With your own child, it's dependent on one issue. But when it comes to the din of miknat bayit, there, I keep doing that, miknat kesef, there it's similar to how does it fit into the pasuk of lachem, ben shmonat yamim yimno lachem, versus the other pasuk where there's no lachem and no shmonat yamim. So there's an issue of, is it yours? Obviously, if I'm distinguishing between someone that's born in my rishos and someone that I bought into my rishos, the question of how similar it is to being truly yours is the issue. Therefore, according to Rav Chama, I would like to be machadi something new. That even if she was tvula, and even if the child hadn't been born, it's not mine because I didn't own the mother. That's the point. So again, here's an interesting case in which literally it was born in my home, and it's not a yamid mitcha, it's miknat kasbecha, because you had no monetary rights in the mother, only in the fetus. Mashenkin, if I tell you the child was already born, I'm like, obviously the child's already born. I'm like, what's the chiddush in that? According to me, there's no shaykhus over here to Leda and Tuma and mothers at all. What am I going to bother telling you that case? According to the Tana Kama, that's an easy way to split things up. Because the only issue is the lachem question. Fine.
But the ubra means a fetus before it was born.
Ubra is her fetus.
Yes, so in other words, somebody bought the rights of the fetus before.
Correct.
It was born.
Correct. Yeah. Fine. So that would give us all four cases, right? Very nice. Miknat kesef, that's not to say that he wouldn't agree with the Tana Kama's case. It would just be, what's the point of telling me that? I mean, that's very obvious. So that's why it confuses us a bit, because it gives now a different value to 1-1. Okay, but Lamaisa still makes sense. Now, according to the Tana Kama, how does this work out? So according to the Tana Kama, la Tana Kama, bishlei makulu mashkachatu. Everything worked out just fine, except for 2-1. Right? We had 1-1, we had 1-2, we had 2-2. But where's the case of a Yelid Bayit that is Nima Le'echad that we didn't know? Because according to the Tanakhama, according to the Tanakhama, it makes a difference if she was Tfula or not. So it was born in my house, so what would be the case? Omer of Yirmiya, the case according to the Tanakhama would be Mashkachat La, the case would be where you were Lokeach Shifcha Le'ubra. You bought the shifcha in order to have rights to the fetus. But you had no rights to the mother at all. So the birth of the fetus takes place in your home, and it's your birth. It's your lid beitcha, because this fetus was owned by you at the time that it was born. Nonetheless, it's not similar to lachem, because when a child is born in your home, there's usually a woman from whom the child was born. In this case, there's no woman. Because the woman is not in your home, so to speak.
There's no woman in your home.
So, in other words, for all intents and purposes, the woman is a machine. So we have now a Yelid Beit Cha that refers only to the fetus and not to the mother. That's the case in which there's no din of Nima L'Shvah. It's not similar to Lachem.
It's like a mother.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's like a Mikhnas Kesef.
It's not like a Miknat Kesef. No. It's a Yelid Bayit that is not similar to Lachem.
Therefore, it's the same din as Miknat Kesef would be.
Well, Miknat Kesef also has a din of Shmona. There's a Miknat Kesef that you can't just make that. Okay, that's not the issue. The issue is not Miknat Kesef. The issue over here is how similar is it to what we called Lachem, in which it said Ben Shmonat Yami. Okay? All right, that would be the case. Rabbi Yirmiya, so Amy asks the Gemara, wait. That's not so simple, you see. Because, I mean, it's nice, but it doesn't work out according to everybody. Because remember the famous machloket, which has nothing to do with Mila, just in general a machloket, about whether if somebody buys something for rights of production, whether that gives them also the ownership in the device that gives the production. So suppose I buy a field, and I'm buying the field in the sense that I'm purchasing your field for rights of growing, not to own the land. Is the land in any way mine, which has tremendous nafkaminas in terms of shibudim and so on, right? Is the land in any way mine? In other words, is the kinyan on the land for the produce or not? That's a machloket called kinyan peirot, kinyan haguf.
Isn't that a renting, basically?
That's a question. It is possible to rent, but rent also gives you kinyanim in a thing. A renter has kinyanim in an item. The question is it less than renting? So this is a big machloket, right? Yeah, this isn't rent. I don't own the thing at all. I only bought it so that you deliver the production, let's say.
Proof from trees.
Right? Can't even move it. Can't even walk in there, let's say. Maybe that's a condition. Nonetheless, does that right imply kinyanim in the item? If it does, then over here, in buying the rights to the Uber in the shifcha, I'm buying the shifcha for the Uber, and only for that purpose. Does that give me rights to the mother, technically? Because that's where the kinyan was. In which case, why would it not be the same as the other case? L'man yomer kinyan peirot, ki kinyan aguf dami, mai ika l'meimah. Then what would you say is the value of 2-1?
Because then it should be yilin bayit.
What?
Because then it should be like the yilin bayit.
You keep doing that. It is a Yelid Bayit, not if it's like a Yelid Bayit. It is a Yelid Bayit, but it would be more similar to Lachem as this Yelid Bayit. Misharsha, very simple. Velokeach Shifcha al Menat Shalolahat Bila. It is possible to buy a Shifcha and to make a deal with the Shifcha. I am not going to turn you into a Jewess. And you will be working for me, which means that basically I can only buy now your slavery in terms of the work that you're going to do for me, but it's no longer a normal shivcha relationship. Since that's the case, there is no element of Chi of Mitzvahs at all, and therefore it is not similar to the Lachem at all. Not because of Tuma, nothing to do with Tuma, but because all things that are Lachem, even Avadim, are generally connected to your way of life. In the unique case where you buy a working yeshivcha, you're basically buying a machine. And therefore, there would be no similarity to Lachem. So androids are not included in the din of the Mila Lishmini.
You're buying a machine, or you're buying
a machine.
Time?
No, you're buying a machine.
You're buying a machine.
You're buying a machine, but it's certainly not Lachem.
You own it, right?
Yeah, it is, right. The questions of how long you're allowed to do this for and so on, but because one of the dinim is that we buy avodim in order to assimilate them, not simply to use them. But fine, this is not our sugya. But as a lemaisa, it's lokach amanachlo legayro. You're allowed to keep certainly for a period of time.
The sugya goes according to my name, uber lav yerach imahu.
I think that you are not aware of the intricacies of the implications of such a question. And it's best that we leave it untouched, because it's going to be, that would be nogea many, many issues that are not necessarily part of our sugya. Mm-hmm. So, for example, in buying an Uber, are you buying a Dover Shalom Bali Yoylon? So what about if you hold you can't purchase such a thing then, without buying the mother? And so on and so forth. I mean, it's a, let's leave that behind it. Okay. Tanya Rebbe Shimon ben Gamliel Lomer. Now we have another question. We can now go on, move on in the world. Our other question is this. We spoke about the Orla Tov Adai, which is the question of, is it a suffix, whether he's maybe a Nefel, or whether he's a Bar Kayama. What actually defines that shear? I mean, up until what point would we have doubts as to the viability of a newborn? So Tanya, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Kol Shishaha Shloshim Yom Ba'adam, Eino Nefel. If a child survives for a month, it is not a Nefel. Shenemar Uftuya Ben Chodesh Tifteh. Since the Torah is Mechayev you, after the din of Bechor, Pinyon Bechor, only Ben Chodesh, apparently, it's only at Ben Chodesh that it becomes established that such a child is in fact viable. Now you're going to have to deal with it. So now you have a live Bechor that you can begin thinking about survival. Now it's time to cough up. Whereas by Behemah, Shmonat Yamim ba Behemah, Eino Nefa. If an animal survives, now of course it's a little bit different, because by an animal it means survives to the eighth day, whereas by the Adam it means survives 30 days. So the Pidyon HaBechor is on the 31st day, whereas by the Behema, this end of the seventh day is already the beginning of viability. So by the Behema Shmonat Yamim Shenemar, Umiyom HaShmini V'Hala Yeratze LeKorban. So the reason that he uses the Shloshim and the Shmona is because these are the words that appear in the Pasuk. It's not because they're really parallel. Halo Shahab, clearly implying that if the animal, the child, didn't wait 30 days, that he's claiming that a child is a Suffolk. The child is a Suffolk Nefel, and we just said Orla Tov Adai is Dovah Shabbos. How do we ever do a Brit Milah on the eighth day? So then, Mima Lechi Ma'alinan Lech. Omer Vada Barava. It's very simple. If he's dead, so you're just cutting meat. And if he's viable, so then you're chayav in the Mila. So what's the problem? You'll have to cut meat on Shabbos. So therefore, Ma'alinotom Amanashah. Im Chayu Shapir Kermoyo. V'ilav Mechatech V'basaru. And therefore, Mamanashah, you could do the Mila. No, wait a minute. So I thought we said just yesterday, Sufik ben Shiva, Sufik ben Shimona, Ein Mekalalin Lavat HaShabbat. We don't know whether this child is premature or whether he's actually a seven-month gestation child who has now held on a little bit longer to his lovely time in the womb, and therefore really is a completely now viable and fully formed child. I understand. He said, if you don't know, I mean, that's exactly the case that Rav Shimon ben Gamliel just got finished telling us, and the din is, you said, that you can always do it in the manushah. So am I, why then did we say yesterday you can't be Mechalel Shabbat in the manushah? Nimalei Mimanushah. Im Chayu Shachrei Kamoyo. Either you're doing a good job, Vim Lav, and if not, you're just cutting dead meat anyway, so you're Mechatek B'Basar, and therefore it should be Mutter.
Could the baby be Mutter?
So therefore what?
What?
We're not going to be machmir to be docha the Shabbos to be being docha Shabbos. We're worried about the mukta. Omar, Margarita Ravina, Anna. Obviously not. Are we not going to care for this baby because we're in the Sukkot? So mukta. The baby didn't die on Shabbat. He's perfectly alive. You're taking good care of him, changing his diapers and so on.
So the baby's dead when we go to cut it. It's on Shabbos. What I mean.
The baby is alive, breathing. It gives every indication of life. We're talking about a technicality here. In the event that he's a napho, it's not worse than cutting a piece of dead meat.
Cutting a piece of dead cat?
Yeah.
Yeah,
but he isn't a dead cat. He's a living, breathing human being who needs his diaper changed. Omar Marbarader Ravina. So Marbarader Ravina explains, Anna, Ravina Chumi Bar Zecharia, we explained what was really meant by that case. Of course you do Mila on that child. What we were saying, that you don't do Mila on a Suffolk, meant not for Mila. Mila can have a modern life. What we meant was, according to Rabbi Eliezer, the Mila, you will not do Makshire Mila, because Makshire Mila are not Mamanavshak. I'm making a knife. Is that a Chil Shabbos? Where's the Mamanavshak? So if I'm making a knife on Shabbos, and it turns out there's no baby to be Mal, all I'm doing is cutting cat, so then in that case, Enoch Inami, I would be Bechal Shabbos. Therefore, I can't do it. But according to the Tanakhama, doesn't agree with Rabbi Eliezer de Mila, then there's nothing to worry about. Because I'm not sure Mila anyway or not, Docha. And all that's left is the Mila. The Mila, you're right. Mamanushach, I can do it. Omer Abaye Kitzadnoi. The question of whether we would view a Nefa as a mate, which is the suggestion of your Ravavada Barava, actually seems to be a Machlokes Tanoi. V'chiyamut bin Abayimah asher hilachem la'ochla. It says over here that if an animal dies to you, it's a kosher animal, hanogeya ben nivlata, yitzma ad ha'aret. You will be tame in touching that corpse. Now, what would be the din? It says over here, asher hilach en la'ochla. How about if it's not a behima asher hilach en la'ochla? So what's the difference? The difference is la'aviv ben shmuna she'en shechitato mitaharato. So therefore, the question over here is, what is the din of an animal before now it has been completely matured? This is not ben shmuna yomim. This is talking about a behima gas. A behima gas has the same gestation as a human, 9 months. So what is the din of an animal in which the animal is not fully formed, it's premature? What would be the halacha of a dead, premature animal where it was shechted? Is the shechita, in other words, do we look at the premature animal as being a treifa, or do we look at it as dead?
It's born dead.
No, it was born alive, but you said it just looks alive, smells alive, acts alive,
But it's really a dead cat.
Dead cat walking.
Right, exactly. So now, obviously, if you shift a cat that's walking, doesn't make much of a difference. So the question is over here, if this animal is basically dead, then when I'm shechting it, I'm only being mechatek basavihom, in which case it will not be torn. It's just like any other corpse. If it's a problem, okay, it's a problem, I'm not allowed to eat it. That's like a trefa, I'm not allowed to eat it. But if I shech the trefa, that head is offering me a beautiful target, Barnea.
I'm not a trefa,
I can use a little bit of lipstick and draw it. If I like that. Of course, your wife may not approve. So now, this, of course, the halacha here would tell me whether to look at the nafel as basar b'yama, that it would be indeed metame b'masa, like an abela, or whether it's alive and it's nishlet. So here we bring a braita that says that shkita will not be metayer a premature count. Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon Omrim, shkitato medarato, a premature cow that is nishchat, is not dead meat. It's not kosher, but neither is a trefa kosher. But it's also not a corpse. Now, my lava kamiflage, apparently. This is precisely the machlokas that we just had. The marsavar chayu, umarsavar metu. The question is it alive for all intents and purposes, or is it dead for all intents and purposes? Amar Rava, says Rava, now how can you think that that's the machlokas? Ehachi, if that's the machlokas, why in the world would we have to argue about whether it's katame is an abel? So then, ademiflege linyan tumi v'taira, liflege linyan akhila. Why couldn't they argue about whether you would be allowed to eat it with shkita? Because what made you think that not? Ella, I suggest the kuli alma metu, on the contrary. Everybody would agree with Rehada Bar Abba. It's dead. Reb Yossi, Reb Yehuda, Reb Elazar, Reb Shimon hold, yes, it's a dead, shchita dead, meaning it's like a trefa. Isn't it true that a trefa, even though it's dead, is not a corpse? So trefa, afagav de metahi, shchita to metaharato, achinami loshna. Therefore, here too, it's no different than a shechted trefa, whereas the Rabbanan say, of course it's different. A trefa at least had a time in which we could view it as a viable animal. This had no such time. So a trefa had a shat ha-kosher, and during the time before it became a trefa, it was kosher to be shechted. So once it has that moment to be kosher to be shechted, shchita can now be metayeret. Masha'en came, this thing never ever had that moment because it was never mature. Well, wait a minute, what are you going to ask me? V'chitei trefa mi bets, and ma'ikala me'emar. I know what you're going to say. You're going to say, so what about a congenital trefa? An animal was born as a trefa, never had a shata kosher? So why wouldn't, according to me, why wouldn't that be the same case? We should find a machloket as to whether, what, shkita's matayer? Of course shkita's matayer. No. Hatam yesh b'mina shkita. At least over there, in the set of such things, there is a case in which there has a shata kosher and so on. Masha'in came over here, even in the set of such things, even in the mean, there's no such thing. Because there, hatam yesh b'mina shkita, there's a concept of shkita on the set of trefot, whereas haka in b'mina shkita, there's no concept of shkita on the set of premature animals. Iboil, mi pligi rabban alayda Reb Shimon ben Gamliel olam. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel came out of nowhere to say that the 30 days or the 8 days are definitive. Is that a machloket, or is he just telling us something that's normative halacha? Do we find any machlokas about this issue? And assuming that we do, how do we pass it? Imtim tzolama pligi, halakha kamoto, well, it's evident, says the Gemara, that there must be an argument, because we know the case that we had before, Egel Shenolat Biyonto,
Shochatinato b'yontav. If an eagle is born on yontav, you can shecht it on yontav. How could you shecht it on yontav? Maybe it's a nafal. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel says until it survives for 7 days, you can't shecht it and eat it because it may not be royal ashrita. So here apparently is the das of a Tanakhama that argues from Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, because you'll notice that the language of Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, kol sheshahar, implies that on every single newborn, we're going to have this question, not on a particular case where it looks to us as if it's premature. So how would we find a case in which you could check a newborn animal, and maybe there's no shvita on a newborn animal? So Achramayas Kinan answers the Gemara, the Timle Begaveshe Kol Lo Chadashav. Wait a minute. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel admits that there are cases where you can know the age, the extent of the gestation. You can know when the animal was impregnated, that it had no other opportunity for impregnation. Maybe you used artificial insemination, there's been nothing around it since then. Or maybe you examined the simonim of the animal, because we know when there is completed nail formation and certain hair formation the Gemara goes through, that then it's kim, yeah, after it's born, then it's kim le begavei shekol lo chadashav. Maybe the Mishnah is only talking about such a case, but ain't hachinami. In a case where you don't have any knowledge, maybe you would not be allowed to shecht it and eat it on yontav. Maybe everybody agrees. Durb Shemem ben Gamliel. Sorry. Okay, what about this? V'shavim she'im nolad hu v'mumo imo she'ze min hamuchan. Even a bechor, which you're not allowed to eat unless it has a mum, everybody is moda that if the bechor is born on yontav together with the mum, that it's called muchan, because this is congenital, which means it was muchan agav imo. So from before Shabbos, you could have shechted it now and eat before yontav. I mean, shechted and eaten it. Therefore, it remains now food on yontav itself. It's not called nola. But wait a minute. It happens to have been born today, so how can you eat it? It's a suffering if it was kololo chadashav or not. So apparently there's a Tana Kama who doesn't believe that there's such a suffering. And we generally assume that gestation went on to full term. Says the Gemara, no, achinam she kololo chadashav. What makes you think that it's not the same case? So we're talking about a case where I know how long the animal was pregnant with this bechor. Toshma. The Amar of Yerom HaShemol Halacha Grub Shemem Ben Gamliel. Now look, if it says in a psak that Rabbi Yehuda paskins in Shmuel's name like Grub Shemem Ben Gamliel, obviously he must have been aware of a dissenting opinion. Otherwise, how are you paskining a halacha? So halacha b'chlal the pligit. Shmami, now there is indeed a dissenting opinion. There's a Tana Kama who holds you don't have to take into consideration such a suffering. Omer Abaye, it's not that simple, says Abaye, because nafal min hagag o achlo ari divrei hakol chayu. If now a child falls off of a roof and dies, or a lion eats him up, so then I have no reason, even Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, to doubt that it was a full-term infant, and had he not met up with an unfortunate end, he would have survived, and therefore he is a chai, and this is very important, because let's say he was the only child now to a father who died, you wouldn't need chalitza. Right? One very evident issue. So, he's definitely a chai. Ki plei the machlokas is only where he evidently did not have too much life in him, because he yawned one day and gave up the ghost. Ki plei she pihek v'meit. Now, there's a machlokas we've shown him, whether pihek v'meit means literally he yawned and gave up the ghost, or it means he didn't come to some kind of strange end, but he may have been affected by an illness. Is an illness the equivalent of being eaten up by a lion, or is an illness the equivalent of piegva made like a crib bed? So mar sovar chayu, mar sovar mit. There, there's a question of whether he's alive or dead. Lamai nafkamina, who cares? I mean, lamai say he died before I was chayiv now to be paid to him or whatever. Ah, nafkamina slitzlo ben ayibum. If the father died, and now this is the only child that was left, so if you hold, if it's nafa min agago achlo ari, if you're telling me divrei hakol chayu, then enoch inami, he would still be potter ben ayibum min achalitza, so the mother can go and marry somebody else.
So wait a minute. Have a
inheritance? Yeah. Nafa, but that's even the kever. I mean, that's not inheritance. We have to even the kever. Nafa min agag or ochlo ari divrei hakol chayu. Is that true? But we know an actual case where a papa Ravuna Bereg of Yeshua came to Ravidi Barabin's son, the Avigu Iglatilsa, the Yomama de Shiva, and he made this beautiful meal that unfortunately had been shechted on the seventh day from its birth. Very expensive ego. And he said, darn! Why didn't you wait until the evening and then shecht it? I would have eaten it. But now, I can't eat it. Why can't you eat it? I understand. Certainly, somebody coming along and shechting the animal is the equivalent of it's being attacked by a lion. I mean, those humans are the worst, right? So, I mean, you said everybody agrees it's chai. You refused to eat it. You apparently thought that you have to be machmer and be chayshish. Maybe it's not a chai. And the shechita wasn't a good shechita. I thought you said everybody agrees. Ooh, sorry. Okay, let's change that. Let's do it the other way around. If it yawns and gives up the ghost, kishapiyat the maid, divrei hakol maid, or just the opposite. Everybody would agree, even the Tanakhama argues, and Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel would agree, that if it shows evidence of not having any viability, that indeed it was a mate. The only question is where those human predators, where they get it. Over there, Marsava Meitu, Marsava Chayu, and he was being mocked on himself not to eat it, even though basically the lion got it. But nonetheless, he's going to be mocked with the Bechash, like a trim and a gum. In the room. Braid Ravdini Bar Yosef Yavid Leahu Yenuka Begot Slatin Yuma, shocking. Now, Ravdini Bar Yosef had a child, and the child died within 30 days of birth, and he sat Shiva on the child. Yoti becoming Abeleluya. His father came in, Ravdini Bar Yosef came in, finds his son sitting Shiva on the death of the grandson who never made it till 30 days, and his father says to him, Amrle Yavua, Savranita kabaita lech meichal. I see that you like the kind of food they bring to Avelin, so you're pretending to be an Avel, so that all the neighbors will bring you in some delicious things to eat. Because there certainly wasn't any need to sit here and sit Shiva on the kid, because he was becheskas neifel. So his son answered him, Amar leitim lebe shekolu lo chadashav. I know for a fact that he was born full term, and therefore I know that I'm mechuyav to sit Shiva for him. There's a beautiful musar word on this, what is it, stam? I mean, just to make a nasty comment like that. It's a very interesting musar word that they bring, that on the contrary, what the father was saying is, the slightest bit of prejudice in your thinking can push you over the line to make a mistake and sorry. Maybe you like the food. It's nice to be the subject of everybody coming in and treating like a hero. You're the, oh no, they're going to feed you, they'll take good care of you. Not so bad. So maybe you're thinking in those terms. You know, yeah, you're looking for the platters.
Well, was that disease bond? Somebody's syndrome, you know?
Where people name things.
Yeah, where they do things in order to gain sympathy from
what's it called? What's
mother. Von somebody's syndrome. I forget what it's called.
Okay, so looking out yourself. So he was being serious. He wasn't about being nasty. Sometimes even that type of warpage in your in the clarity of your thinking is enough to make a mistake himself.
Maybe it's a mistake. We hear that it says a person who's in this ago has shown too much principle. He'll have reasons to ago, so if you're being an ago on this, so then.
Ravashi ikla be Rivkana Isra be Milsa begot lasin yum. So Ravashi comes to Rivkana's home. Rivkana loses a child who's less than 30 days old. Chazed Yosef kamitabel alayin, he sees that he's sitting Shiva. Omar leilo, sevali marlo, hodi omar of Yiram Shmuel. Halokot Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. Why are you sitting Shiva? Don't you all that the halokot is like Rav Shimon ben Gamliel that there's no chiyuv of sitting Shiva? I know how long gestation is. Itmar. Meit betoch shloshim. Va'amda v'nitkatsha. Here's the question. The father had died. The newborn dies within 30 days of birth. The woman goes and accepts kedushin from another guy. Omer avinu mishmei d'rava. In Eshet Yisraeli, Cholet, thank God for Tosfos, huh? If she's an Eshet Yisrael, so then she should do Chalitza, just to be Yotze Mitzah. What do you need to be? Your whole life you're going to be living with a woman who was Osir, maybe. The child was considered to be a Nechel, that one didn't bother, do Chalitza. In Eshet Koheni, Eina Cholet. However, if the guy who married her now is a Kohen, so if she'll do chalitza, a chalutza as asur lekohen, then already it's not kedai to do the chalitza. So most mefarshim explain that afilu aliv Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, there's a rove, even according to him, there's a rove of viability that the gestation was full term, and therefore this whole thing is a chumrah. I will not be machmer if it means taking a woman away from her husband. And therefore, forget about the chalitza. The kohen, in this case, would not be allowed to remain with a woman who is a chalutza. The problem is, as Tosis explains, we do not aser a suffix chalutza to a kohen. We're not motzi, once there was already a marriage. Not motzi because of suffix chalutza. In which case, what's the problem? To do chalitza. It's not going to be worse. Can't be worse than it is. If she's not allowed to get married, this is the arisa. What are you going to make a chalutza? So make her a chalutza. So there's a number of different approaches. Tosfos' approach is because we want to avoid a situation which people will say that a chalutza is muteris to a kohen. Okay, so therefore it's better not to do a chalutza in this case. But it isn't because we would really be motzi her from her husband. We would not be motzi her. Even not in such a case with the problem of the blood and so on, a suffer chalutza, we wouldn't be motzi. Now, what happened is that Rav Sharvia quotes Rava as saying, "Achadzu v'achadzu choletz." No, she should do chalitza because that way you take off the yisud of your eyes. Omar le Ravina, Rav Sharvia, Ravina said, Rav Sharvia, you're quoting Rava that he said to do chalitza. The fact is, before he went to bed, that's what he said. Liyurta Amar Rava Achi, but when he woke up in the morning, Letzafra Hara Beyat Charata, and he said for the Kohen, don't do the Chalitza. Amar Le, so Rav Sharvia said, Shiritua, you were matir this woman without Chalitza? Yei Rava de Tishru Tava, may it be God's will that one day you'll be matir eating Chalit. There's a beautiful Ritzadik on this, absolutely stunning. He's lying to this. What's he saying? He held that Lamaisa Rava apparently was Mesopic. If Rava had changed his mind, he would have been Doreshit. Wasn't Doreshit.
I'll never get you to change your mind. Why? Because when people make mistakes, they're always convinced that they're right. The only way you'll ever do tshuva and see reality is where your mistake was evident. So you hear a tzon, you should make such a mistake that it's clear to you that you're an idiot, and then you'll start taking things seriously. But until the day comes that you're clearly an idiot, you'll keep holding on to whatever mistake you made, which is so true. Because people, until it's absolutely untenable, they hold on to the most insane kind of beliefs. And it has to be completely torn from them. So this is the Hirav HaShetar Teshutarva. Doesn't mean I want anybody to eat the chayav, but I want you to see what an idiot you are.
Who
said that?
And what is he saying the mistake was in Rava? What do you mean he's not saying?
He's saying you're relying on the fact that Rava was in the lav, the Rafi beyond it. That's what you're relying on. To be mater a chalutza, a non chalutza, I mean, and a yavama l'shur. That's what you want to be mater. Good. Okay. Very good, gentlemen. We did it. And I hope we went through these three separate sugyas with a leif, a tuach, a dad, tzalula, and with happiness to greet the future.
Okay.